Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text, the Gospel reading, Matthew chapter 13, I'll summarize and reread a portion of it. Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. Other seeds fell on rocky ground. Other seeds fell among thorns, and other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. This is our text. I want to say to begin with that it's good to be home. It's nice to be here. I know that while we had our whirlwind, wonderful 3-week family vacation, that you were well fed and faithfully served by Pastor Lane and Pastor Barsoja. I'm so thankful that they could be here while I was away. And I want to add that I'm also thankful for our congregational elders, Ed Schaefer, Dave Farabaugh, and Paul Dwiggins, who helped our Sundays go smoothly, and of course to Sue Morell, who holds the fort down even when I am here. And of course, it's a joy to see you because I know that so many of you over the last 3 weeks have been serving and loving and doing what our Lord would have you do in your daily lives and here at church. Our family vacation took us to 4 different congregations in the last 3 weeks, 4 sister churches of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We were the first Sunday at Royal Redeemer in Liberty Township, Ohio, just outside Cincinnati. That week, on Wednesday, we were at Calvary in Watseka, Illinois, right in the middle of farmland. The second Sunday, we were at Emmanuel Lutheran in Leland, Michigan, where I was a member for 27 years. And then the last Sunday at St. Paul's in Hillsdale, Michigan, where I attended during college. I mention this not only to give you a sense of where we've been and what we were doing and where we heard God's word, but to tell you this. God's word is being sown. It is being sown in places far and wide. It is being sown in cities, city suburbs, and small towns and college communities around our nation. I know sometimes in New England we feel a bit alone. Sometimes we wonder if we might be the only ones left. A little bit like Elijah, who thought he was the last remaining prophet. But you're not. There are many who hear the word Sunday after Sunday, many among whom Christ casts the seed. And it was a joy to hear that word read, preached, prayed, confessed, and sung. It was a delight to see that word at work, doing its work in holy baptism. And it was a gift to receive that word in the sacrament of the altar, just as you were doing here. In our gospel reading, we heard about how crowds were gathering to see Jesus. So many people gathering that he ended up getting in a boat and going out into the lake so that he had a better platform, pulpit, and podium from which to speak. Our Lord taught people using all sorts of things in all sorts of ways, but including in those little stories that we know as parables, like the one that we heard today. The parable about a sower with a bag full of seed who went out to sow. It's a striking image. I think the bulletin cover captures it nicely. A farmer who's out scattering seed, always scattering seed to the left and to the right and everywhere. I picture him almost like a little boy with a dollar in his pocket. It's just burning a hole. He's got to get rid of it. He's got to spend it. He's got to sow it. He can't keep it hidden away. And this is what the sower is like. He will not keep the seed to himself, but he will send it forth to do its work. Now, of course, there is the disturbing part of this parable. Some of the seed falls on the path. Some of it lands among the rocks. Some of it grows in the midst of weeds. And that's the reality. It doesn't all take root. And what takes root doesn't all grow. And what grows doesn't all bear fruit. We've seen it happen. Our hearts have broken. How many times as we watch God's word be spread, but then nothing seems to come. It doesn't do what we want it to do. It doesn't seem to bear any fruit in the lives of others, in the world around us, sometimes in our own lives as well. And yet this is what I find so encouraging about this parable. Although the first three situations that it describes are not situations that end up with an abundance of fruit, yet there's that fourth description. There's the good soil on which the seed lands and bears abundantly. And the fact is, that's where the parable ends, with the sower sowing and sowing and sowing, making his word known, casting the seed forth wherever and whenever he can. He just keeps doing it. He doesn't get discouraged in the way that you or I might when we have to plant something for the umpteenth time, perhaps because it's been rained out yet again. Our Lord doesn't become discouraged, and he doesn't give up, and he doesn't think that it's fruitless or worthless to do it, to plant his word in you and even among others in our world. The kingdom of heaven comes. Our Lord establishes his reign, and he does it on earth in the hearts of believers. This is what Jesus came to do. He came to proclaim. He came to plant. He came to reveal. He came to make known. What? Not simply some key to happiness. Not some secret to your best life. Not the mystery of the universe by which you can unlock everything that's hidden. No, he came to make himself known. He came so that you and I and other beloved sinners might kneel to him and receive from him life and salvation. You see, Jesus himself is the sower of the seed. He's the one who teaches. He's the one who preaches God's kingdom. He's the one who speaks, and he speaks about himself, about his cross, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming again. And then, because he can't get everywhere that he wants to go in his earthly ministry, he sends others. First the 12, then the 72, and later the church just keeps sending and sowing after Pentecost, so that the word of God goes forth. In fact, it says in Acts 12, verse 21, the word of God increased and multiplied. Sometimes that seed got scattered because of persecution. Sometimes a door opened in a completely new and unexpected place. Sometimes the person you never expected to believe, Saul of Tarsus, is struck by lightning from heaven and believes what Christ has said. The word of the Lord spreads and it grows and it does bear fruit. This is the promise he gives, from then even until this day. Not every seed brings forth that fruit. And the problem, of course, isn't with the seed at all. It isn't that God's word is inert or ineffective. The problem is with the soil. Some falls on the hard paths. Some falls on the New England rock. You know how little grows on top of Monadnock, don't you? Some falls among the weeds. Boy, don't we know about weeds right now? Those are growing like crazy. But why are we surprised? If he waited to plant seed until he found the perfect soil, how much seed would get planted? No one is righteous, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If it depended on us being ready and prepared, then what good would that seed do? It looks ineffective. It seems like a bad strategy. No farmer would do this, but he does it. Why? Because he wants to get the seed out there. He wants the word to be heard, and he knows that though some may not believe, many will. Though not every plant will bear fruit, it will bring forth grain in abundance, 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. He's not stingy. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, and so it was that the Father sowed his perfect seed on earth. on earth amidst the curse and the hard paths and the rocky ground and even among the thorns and the thistles. And it's true, he wasn't received well. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. He was rejected by the chief priests, by the scribes and Pharisees. He was mocked by Herod, condemned by Pontius Pilate. They laughed at the seed when God sowed it on earth. They spit on it. They struck and whipped and abused it. They made him walk the hard path to Golgotha. They put those thorns on his head. They drove spikes into his hands and feet. They crucified the seed. And then they threw it in the ground, and they covered it with a stone, and they declared it dead. They said it would bear nothing ever again. What could possibly grow from that? You know how it went. All you have to do is check back on the third day. First day, nothing. Second day, nothing. But on the third day, the stone is gone. The hole where they laid the seed is empty. The thorns and the spikes have been cast aside. He rose from the dead, right out of the ground. He rose with life. He rose with seed that is imperishable. He rose with a word that endures forever. You know, the scriptures describe man in his fallen state as grass that withers and flowers that fade, here today and gone tomorrow. But the scriptures make clear there is something that endures. The word of the Lord endures forever. And so the Father sent his Son, didn't hold back, but sent his only begotten Son. And the Son didn't hold back, but he made himself known, even when he would be rejected, again and again and again, right up to the cross. And then when he rose from the dead, he kept on giving himself. He declared that he was the Savior of the world and the Savior that you need. His goal was for the seed to get out there, always to get out there, with the confidence that the seed will find good soil and bear much fruit. Now, I don't know how you hear this, but I'll tell you how I hear it. When I hear the parable of the sower and the seed and the four kinds of soil, it affects me deeply. It's not only the discouragement of hearing about the hard path and the rocks and the weeds, but it's also wondering whether that's me. How many times has God's word come into my ears and I failed to understand? The devil has snatched it away. How many times have I received that word with joy and it sprung up only to be snuffed out by some trial or difficulty? How many times has it grown but not produced fruit because of the cares and anxieties of this world? What if that's me? And I'll tell you right now, what if that's me, or what if it's you? So what? Because you know what the sower does? It probably has been you and me, probably is at times, and yet he continues to sow his word. He hasn't given up. He hasn't stopped. If there's one thing you take from all of the rain that we've had, which I know is a bit more than we need at the present moment, it is this. God's word is like a rain shower, and he hasn't stopped yet. Not to flood us out, but to give us life with him. So the sower didn't stop sowing, and the seed didn't stop going forth and doing what seed does. And the failure doesn't prevent some seed from growing up and bearing a crop. No, it says it produces 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. And that's why we're here. We pray that God would make that true in our lives. And if we haven't seen it yet, we pray that his word would continue to have its way with us, that he might bring good fruit in and through us. And so let us have confidence today as we gather and hear this parable, the confidence that looks not to ourselves, but at the one whose word it is. He is faithful. If he spoke the whole world into being by his word, if he can drive off demons, release fevers, still storms, and raise the dead with a simple command. If he can say that your sins are forgiven, so that they really are, If he can declare that you'll be with him in paradise and make it happen, if he can do all that, then why not have confidence in his word, in the seed that he sows into our lives and into the lives of others? As we heard from the prophet Isaiah, God said that his word is like the rain and the snow that comes down from heaven and does not return until it has accomplished its purposes. It does not return empty or void. So shall my word be that comes from my mouth. It does what he wants it to do. It accomplishes his purposes in and through us. And it grows a harvest for God, a harvest of souls and good works and good fruits. It does all this. So take heart, despite what you might see in the world around you, what you might feel in yourself at times. Be confident and not apathetic. Don't treat God's word, whether you hear it here at church, whether you speak it with your own mouth, whether you read it in your morning devotions, don't treat God's word as something lifeless or without power. Holy Scripture has been written for our learning. It has been written so that we may know the salvation of our God. So hear it, read it, mark it, learn it, inwardly digest it. And by doing so, what St. Paul said will take place. The Holy Spirit will dwell in us like a seed that's been planted. He dwells in us so that we live not according to the flesh, not in the old way of life that we used to follow, but so that we would put to death the deeds of the body. We've been adopted as sons of God. We are heirs of God and we are co-heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for us. This is the confidence we have, not in ourselves, but in Christ and his promises and his good seed. It says in Proverbs chapter 14, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." Our confidence is in our God and in his word, which is powerful. Our confidence is not in ourselves, but our confidence is in him. And we as Christians of all people ought to have this confidence because we know the one who died and who rose again, who ascended on high, who rules and reigns in heaven, and who will come again in glory. Let your confidence be in him. And he who supplies you with seed will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, and he will increase your harvest of righteousness. The word of the Lord stands forever, and it grows an abundant crop. And so we go forth as captives who have been freed. We go forth with joy and confidence in our Lord. We know that his word will do what he says. It will save souls. The church will grow, and all the credit will go to our God and his word, though he may even use us. Our Lord's word has and is able to do all that God is and can do. And so we hold it sacred. We gladly hear and learn it. And by God's word, we learn to call out to our Father, saying, "Abba, Father," with the confidence of beloved children who know where our inheritance is and who believe what God promises and gives and does in his word. A sower went out to sow, and some fell on good soil and produced grain, 100-fold, 60-fold, and even 30. This is what we believe. In Jesus' name, amen.